Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
Amen. What I want to share what I meant, confirmation. I'll be honest with you, I wasn't wild about preaching this message today. To me, it's just not really, really good. But again, it's not up to what I want to do. I have to hear God and what God says do. And so I'm coming in here with a glad heart to do it and ready and prepared. And then we get to the song list, and I never know pretty much until I get here this in the morning and I look at Plan and Center. And the last song, Bring It to the Table, lines up with exactly what God's had me preach today. The title of today's message is Feed Everybody. Okay? And I'm like, well, Lord, I really feel like we need to enter into this. And he said, yeah, that's your feeling, not mine. Preach this word. I said, okay. It'll all line up. So I did it again. I didn't come into this service begrudgingly, but I came in going, Lord, but how do you know when you just follow God, it's a lot better. So we're just following God today. And when he brings that confirmation of the last song setting this message up, bring it all to the table, because it don't matter where you've been, it don't matter what you do. When you get to God's table, you're welcome at the table. Yep. Amen. So this morning I start out with a question. If you saw somebody leaving here today and you knew they were hungry, would you take time to feed them if you could? Now, there may be times since you travel, sometimes you don't have money, you don't have food on you. Pray for them and hope somebody, God does send somebody. But if you had the means, the money or the food to take to them, or to either maybe say, here, I'll go buy you something, would you do it? How many of you would do it? Raise your hand. I think we all would. I think we have that heart of God in us. Now, what if you go by somebody and they fell out, they're down and they're trying to get up? And would you stop for a moment if you had the strength yourself to try to help them up? How many would do that? And I think most of us would. Now, let me ask you this. What if they were kind of old and crusty? Would you still be wanting to do that for them? What if they were kind of young and kind of dingy? And maybe a little grungy, a young person, long hair, maybe got tattoos and ear piercings. Would you still stop and feed them and help them up if you could? Yes. Really? Yes. Okay, just making sure. What if they were black? What if they were white? What if they're Hispanic, Asian? What if they'd just gotten out of prison? Still would do that? All right, last test. What if they were Baptist? Leave them laying. What if they were Methodist? Yes. What if they were Pentecostal? Yes. What if they was a Muslim? Yes. What if they was a Buddhist? Yes. What if they didn't believe in God at all and were atheist? Yes. Absolutely. Amen. But I got to tell you that just in the general world, and especially in the church world, we can get cliquish. We can act like our table's only set for people like us. Now, I believe that, now I know some churches do it on purpose, leave people out. They don't want to grow. They don't want new people coming in their church. It's the frozen, chosen, us four and no more. And they like it like that. And they will ostracize new people from coming into their social club. Most churches do have a tendency to want to grow as far as leadership. Sometimes a congregation, well, it happens, fine. If it don't, it's fine. That's a travesty. Everybody should want the kingdom of God to advance and people to get saved. But churches tend to fall into the category of being cliquish, but not on purpose. Because we're drawn to who we like Sunday morning and who we see. And we let the hungry, maybe not physically hungry, but we let the spiritual hungry sometimes pass right by us in our own church. We sometimes maybe had somebody that had something happen in their life this week that's fallen their heart, and they're trying to get through the door, trying to have that fellowship, but we're too busy talking to our friends to notice our fellow person in Christ. In any church. Now, do they do it on purpose? No. But the fact is, they don't do it on purpose. You've got to purposely get out of your comfort zone to minister to someone. Amen? And I think sometimes we need to be refreshed in this as God's representation on the earth. Amen? Because not everybody's like you. Go ahead and put that note up. Everybody isn't like you. Travesty, I know, from your opinion. But everybody's not like you, and everybody's not like me. A lot of people think different than we think. They may arrive to a different answer and through a different process of thinking the way they were brought up. They wasn't brought up the way you were brought up, maybe. And maybe they didn't have the opportunities you had, or they had more opportunities than you had. I don't know. But we're all a little different in our own way. And touch your neighbor saying, that's okay. Now, I want to go back to something that I preached a message on, I think it was last year. And I reiterate this every once in a while because I'm not sure that message really took hold. So I want to reemphasize today. Go ahead and put the note up. Everybody isn't going to like you. And that's okay. That's okay. Unless you consider yourselves better than Jesus, you're going to have to be okay with people not liking you. Because everybody didn't like Jesus in his day. Jesus was not beaten and crucified for our sins because he was popular with everybody. And who was it that crucified him? The church, the religious people, hated the man of God. In other words, they wasn't welcome, and he wasn't welcome in their church. Kind of like a lot of churches today. Amen? Now, look at your neighbor and say, everybody ain't going to like you. And you got to be okay with that. Now look at them. Get your favorite person and look at them and tell them this right here. All right, everybody got somebody? Some of you may have to go to your second choice if your first choice is taken. But look at your neighbor and tell them this right here. You do not have to respond to criticism. Let that sink in, church. You don't have to fire back when fired upon. You have the right, the God-given right, to remain silent. And sometimes you're better off if you will shut your pie hole. It is not one of the gifts of the Spirit to retaliate. You are not the Holy Ghost police. You're not. I'm sorry, you're not. I ain't either. Yes, if you don't get criticized, you're not doing something right. But you don't have to respond back to your critics. My Bible tells me that my lawyer in the spiritual realm is Jesus himself. You can't get no better than that. Well, I'll give you a recent example. Our Father's Day post, when I posted that we were giving away a pellet, big grill, and a gun on the internet. Did any of you see some of the trash that got posted? You want to know why? Because I went down there and I just ripped it down immediately. My brother called me. I didn't see it first. My brother called me and said, you need to go check y'all's post out. And I mean, these guys were dropping the F-bombs and the GD this about the church and everything. I mean, just talking about me and this church like we were dogs. Now, it didn't bother me, but when they started talking about our church here, I got a little ill. And what I wanted to do in the flesh was shred them. Was shred them publicly in front of God and everybody. But I got to practice what I preach. So all I did was went in there and just deleted them and blocked them from ever being able to comment again. I didn't respond. Why? Because that would be giving them my time and my energy that they don't deserve. Now, if they would have wanted to have a discussion, a biblical thing, great, I will talk with anybody. But you don't have to respond to your critics. Because now they've got your head, they've got your mind, and you're off the thing that God wants you to focus on. Distractions come in all forms. Your marriage, do you ever get critical in your marriage? Don't respond to your critic. That'll preach. Y'all okay? So what am I saying here right out of the gate? We aren't called as the body of Christ to feed certain people. We're not just to feed people that are like us and in our clique and in our circle of influence. We are called to feed anyone who's hungry. And anyone who's fallen, we're called to lend a hand to help them up. Everybody say everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody. Feed everyone. Now again, we're not just to feed them. And we talked about this last time in our leadership meeting, and we're going to discuss it some more today. We've got some things going on, and you'll be seeing some construction here because of the growth in the Jesus name. Amen. Yes, praise God. Yeah. That's wonderful. And it's good that we're having that. But I don't want to get caught up in constantly dealing with contractors and design this and what is it. We're still in the people business. And I've seen churches get to this stage and get so concentrated on the building and this and that. And yes, that has to happen. And I'm probably going to be tapping on some more of you guys to help out all we can. But we've got to understand, we're here to lead people to Christ and to develop them and to disciple them. And when we lose sight of that over a building or anything else, then we lose what God's blessed us with. It's not about just having the numbers. It's about what's this number doing. Amen? Are we developing? And we can get caught up, well, we want this to a certain level, we like this to a certain level. But you got, again, all people are all levels, and they're all hungry, and they all need fed. And the moment we think we can't reach back and develop and help someone here, then we need to get out of our spot and let somebody in there that wants to develop, wants to disciple, and loves people over programs. Good preaching, amen, I'll help you. Now I want to read to you a very familiar story out of the book of Matthew chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. I'm going to kind of go through it fairly quick today because you're very familiar with this story. If you've ever went to Sunday school or vacation Bible school and things of that nature, you've heard this story about where Jesus fed 5,000 people. Okay? But I got a different angle I want to show you today that ties in with what we're doing today. Matthew chapter 14, verse 15 through 21, it says, "When it was evening, his disciples," now we're talking about Jesus' disciples here, "came to Jesus saying, 'This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitude away that they may go into the village and buy food for themselves.'" Okay? Now you got to understand, Jesus is having an outdoor crusade, and we know, you'll see at the end of the story, there's 5,000 men and with their wives and their children. But we know there was at least 5,000 men there. Next verse says, "But Jesus said to them," this is Jesus speaking now, he says, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." That'd be like me today telling this bunch right here. Now, he was telling 12 men to do this. And we're probably 250 in here this morning or so, or a little more. "You guys go out and feed 10,000 people this afternoon." Or not this afternoon, just in a few minutes. Y'all better quit praying. Y'all better have a prayer life. You just got one if you didn't. So they did what they normally do. They said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, nobody knows if they were catfish or bass. I do not know that. I don't know what they were. I don't know if it was barley bread, wheat bread. But it was 2 fish and 5 loaves. Okay, doesn't matter. Now, Jesus said to them, "Okay, you got a little bit. Bring it to me." Did you hear that? What little you have, bring it to Jesus. What you don't think is significant and almost meaningless to what you're facing, Jesus says, "Bring that to me. Because I'm a good father." Don't overlook that. "Bring it here to me." Verse 19, "Then he," Jesus, "commanded the multitude, sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and he looked up to heaven." He looked where?
Heaven.
He looked to heaven, and he, Jesus, blessed it and broke it and gave the loaves to the disciples and gave the disciples to the, told them the disciples to give it to the multitude. Verse 20, so they all what? They all ate and were filled. They just didn't get a little bit. They got enough to fill up their gut. Amen? They ate and were filled. And then on top of that, they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and remained. Now, Jesus, to those who had eaten, were about 5,000 men besides women and children. So what looked like not enough to even make a drop, what's this going to matter? What can I do? Your life, you may be saying, what can I offer God? Man, I've screwed it up so bad from here to today, I'm sure he don't even want to look at me. I mean, when I walked in, I felt the walls were going to fall down because I was here. Come on, everybody remember your days like that? When you're scared to come to Christ? Don't ever be scared to go to God. He's your number one place. What can I do? I'm so minuscule. I've messed everything up. And he says, bring that little bit. If you could just have that little grain of mustard seed faith, you can bring that to me. I'll multiply it. And not just have enough for you, but to pour to you, to pour through you, and have enough left over for you to take somewhere. Yes. Now, I don't know this. Everybody say, this ain't Bible. This is my opinion. I believe there were 12 baskets left over because there was 12 disciples that saw lack, and now they get to go home seeing plenty. They got a to-go box, okay? Amen? Can I get that to go? Okay. Like some of us will do at the restaurant today. But why read that about feed everybody? Because can you imagine in the crowd of at least 5,000 men, and they had their wives, and in those days, some of them had more than one wife. God bless their soul. And they usually had many children. Again, God bless them. So you're looking at probably the very most minimum amount is 20,000+ people. Some estimate it minimum's 20 up to 50,000. Most say 25 to 30 is probably the medium range, and it could be 50 when you have 10, 12, 15, 20 kids. Per couple, who knows? Doesn't matter. But have you ever thought, out of a crowd, let's just say 20,000 people, who and what all was in that crowd? Whew, that's a crowd. And they're not churchy type folks. Come on now. I guarantee you there were some liars in that crowd. Liars just lie to you all day long, lie in their business deal, tell you the wagon's good, and if the third wheel's ready to fall off, sell it to you anyway, top pride. I guarantee you there were some liars and cheats in that crowd. I can promise you there were some fornicators. They was people having relationships and not being married out in that crowd. Touch your neighbor and say, uh-huh. Did it just get real quiet in here or what? And I can promise you in that crowd of 20,000+ people that there were people who were married, but they were still having their side chick or dude on the side. So I guarantee you there were some people who were adulterers in that crowd. Amen. I can guarantee you there were prostitutes in that crowd. Because they was looking for clientele in a size that big. Come on. Crowd that big, they're looking for a little action. Make a little scratch. Well, so there was prostitutes in there. And I can guarantee you, of all that size crowd, there were many different religious beliefs there. Come on now. There were idol worshipers in that crowd. There were probably some assassins and murderers in that crowd. Amen. Guaranteed, back in those days especially. And I can guarantee you there was witchcraft and sorcery in that crowd. Amen. Who practiced that and followed that. And then, of course, I'm sure you had plenty of people who were just unbelievers. What we would call today atheists. But they were there. And Jesus spoke to all of them. And Jesus gave them the word. Didn't make any difference in any of them. And when it come time to feed them, did Jesus say, hey, get the ones that look like us and talk like us and believe like us and let's go have a meal and send everybody else away? Come on. There were some there very high class and rich. There were some poorer than dirt poor people there. But Jesus says, you go feed them all. And when he blessed it, he didn't just bless enough for those that are like him and already persuaded by his ministry. There were people that probably left there that said, oh, well, that's not for me. But he fed them. He fed them spiritually with the word, and he's fed them physically with food. And guys, we've got to be that image of Jesus Christ. Because I've told you this, and I want to tell you again, you will never look into the eyes of any man, woman, boy, or girl, or child, or adult that Jesus Christ did not die for. I don't care where they've been or what they've done or how bad they've screwed it up. He loves them, and so should we. Amen? You're preaching a lot about tolerance today, to a certain point. Then you take Jesus on his way on a trip. He goes through and wants to go through Samaria. And he goes to a well, and he finds what we know as the woman at the well. The story of that, you're real familiar. I'm not even going to read this. It's in John chapter 4. Just go there if you want to read it. But here's this woman at the well. Now, you got to understand something. Hebrews considered themselves the upper echelons of all humanity at the time. God's chosen people, and they were. Therefore, they considered people from Samaria, they considered their dog more important than people from Samaria. Okay, you understand that? People from Samaria were considered lower than their animals. But yet Jesus walks up, a rabbi, and talks to this woman at the well and tells her to get him something to drink out of there, draw him a drink. And she even acknowledged, why are you even speaking to me? And he goes on, he tells her, look, if you knew the kind of water I want you to get me and I'm going to give you in return, you wouldn't even question this. But notice what Jesus does. If you read the story on, she says, let me go get my husband. He says, no, you've had five husbands, and the one you shacked up with now ain't your husband. So he pointed out a very loose woman and pointed her sin out to her, and still ministered to her. She was so beneath him in the earthly realm, like a dog walking up to a master, but yet he reached out to her, and he gave her living water that'll last forever in her life. So don't tell me that we can't do what Jesus did. Amen? Because I got some good news for a lot of us in here. Everybody say good news. This ought to help set you free. You ready? Put up the next note. All that God had or ever has to work with is a bunch of flawed, messed up people. Thank God for that. Let that sink into you a minute. If God had to wait for a perfect man or a perfect woman to say, I can put my anointing on them and let them do my work in the earth, do you know what he'd be doing? He'd still be waiting. And no ministry would ever go forth out of the world. All he's ever had to deal with and all he'll ever have to do with until he comes back is a bunch of flawed, messed up people. But thank God he specializes with us, because he can see us at our worst and produce out of us his best. Amen? And when we're ignorant and don't know how, if we will just listen and fall on our face and get in his word, he'll just guide us right through and make us look a whole lot better than what we really are. I mean, I have that happen to me with every Sunday. He makes me look a whole lot better than I really am. Amen? You didn't have to jump so quick on that. If you look at Jesus' disciples, were they all perfect? Far from it. A bunch of cussing fishermen? All fishermen had mouths on them. Come on now. Fishermen? Now, we don't know what all of them done. One of them ended up being his betrayer. And in a step below that, one of them worked for the IRS. He was a tax collector. That's worse than being a betrayer. No, it's kind of a tie. And this is who he had to work with. And how many times did Jesus, even right here when he said, feed them, if they would have prayed over the fish just like he had done and he had taught them, they would have multiplied the fish too, no doubt. But he had to bring it to him. How many times did he say, how long have I got to be with you guys? Come on. Amen. Can you not see and produce what I'm pouring into you? And he still has to do us that way at times too. But thank God for his grace and his patience. Amen. Especially, these were a bunch of messed up people. Amen? And he chose these 12 messed up, flawed up, messed up people to be his disciples and to launch his worldwide ministry of the church. And then there's you and me. He's got to contend with our mistakes and our habits and our selfishness and our failures sometimes. Thank God he doesn't cut off the food line. Thank God there's always room at his table to come anytime and any place, no matter where we're at or where we've been. You can always come to Dad's table. There's a room for you. Amen. 2 Corinthians. Now we're going to shift gears a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 16. This is going to sound like totally opposite of what I've been preaching up to now. This is why this message I told God, but here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14 through 18. The Bible says, do not. Everybody say, do not. Guess what that means in the Greek? It means the same thing. Do not. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has the light with darkness? Leave that up there for a moment. This is awesome. Love everybody, feed everybody, but don't be yoked up with everybody. Now, so many times we use this with marriage. Okay, we do. We say, a believer don't need to marry an unbeliever. And we preach. But let me tell you something. It goes way deeper than marriage. It goes with anything in your life. Because when you start associating with people who are of unbelief and their nature is going to try to draw you away from God and you're not walking in enough faith not to stay faithful and yet you're swayed by them, that's why he says don't be unequally yoked, because the yoke don't line up. And one of them's going to pull you another way. The strongest one's going to pull. Sad thing is, a lot of times in the church, we're not stronger than the world. I hate to say that. That breaks my heart to say that. But now that's a big emphasis right there. Don't be unequally yoked. Righteousness and lawlessness can't operate together. There's no communion with light and darkness. They're totally opposite. They can't exist at the same time. But he goes on after that emphasis, and he keeps on emphasizing. Look at the next verse, verse 15. And what accord has Christ with Baal? None. Baal's another word for Satan. Okay? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And then verse 16 goes on a little deeper. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are, say, I am. You are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will dwell in them and walk with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, this is the temple of God. This is where God lives and resides when you get born again. Your spirit gets born again, and your spirit doesn't leave you when you get born again. Now, you still got to deal with your soulish realm and your body, but your spirit is born again, saved, and it will be like Jesus until you go see Jesus. Amen. And the rest of our life, we try to train our soulish realm, which is our mind, will, and our emotions, our heart, our conscience, our whatever you want to call it, thought process, and our body to line up with what the Spirit of God wants. Because we can quench the spirit. We have the ability to do that as long as we're operating in this flesh still. Even as a Christian, we can quench the Spirit of God. We should never do that, but we have the opportunity because God wants us to love him freely. Did you hear that part? God does not demand the love and faithfulness. He offers us the opportunity to love him and be faithful because of how good he is and how his table always has a place and it's always going to feed you spiritually and physically. Now, watch what the next verse says. It says, therefore, since you know this, all this stuff doesn't belong together. And how many know all that stuff doesn't go together? Okay, so you know it. Now watch what Jesus says in the next part, verse 17. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate. Now watch this. This ain't says the pastor. This ain't says a philosopher. Come out and be separate from among them, says who? This is a command of God for us not to be a part of a world system that's going to hell. Now, I'm going to talk about that here in a minute. Be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Whew, thank you. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. One more verse, verse 18. Then he says, I will be a father. Now, notice what he put in there. He said, I'm going to be your almighty. I'm going to be your master. He chose the word father. Because when you decide to separate yourself from the world system and you're going to do your best to live in God's kingdom mindset and under His love and His grace, that's when you know you got a Father as a God. Father God. Come on, how many times we say Father God? He wants to be, he don't want to be just an iconic figure. He wants to be that Father, dominant Father, not from a this kind of dominant. His love dominates everything in your life. And you feel so loved. Some of you may not have ever had a Father's love. That's why he says in the Bible, I will not leave you as an orphan. Now, we've dealt with that a couple of times here about the orphan spirit. And I don't care what kind of father you had growing up, whether he was there for you or not, whether he was whatever. You've got a heavenly Father that is 100% purely in love with you and don't know how to be anything else that to you. And he's a papa who's got arms open and a table ready at all times waiting on you. Loves for you to come. Loves for you to crawl up in his lap. Whew. So he says, I'll be a father to you. Watch this now. And he puts you in the place, and you will be my sons and daughters. Now, sometimes we keep that in the papa-child realm. But you got to understand, Father is God. He's King. King of kings. Lord of lords. Ain't nobody higher than him. And then he calls you a son and a daughter. Do you know what that makes you? Royalty. That means you are the prince and princesses of the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And you will never not have his authority or be able to eat at his table. Sons and daughters always have a place at the table. Yes, you do. If you don't take your place, it's not his fault. The table's still set. Your chair will always be there. Amen?
Amen.
Now, we do have to, unfortunately, deal and put up with things in this world. Amen? We live in a world where there's a world system and people in this system. But we've not been put here to conform to their image. We've been put here to be conformed into God's image while we're here and try to make a difference in people's lives to lead them to their blessed life and their eternal life in heaven while we're here. But we still have to do that. We live in a fallen world where sin is still loosed on the earth, and it'll be loosed until Jesus comes back. But you and I don't have to participate in it.
Amen.
Can I have a better amen?
Amen.
Now, this is where certain sections of the church, even like I said, us giving away a gun, freak some people out. They can't fathom a church giving away a shotgun. And I put the word in there on purpose, tactical shotgun. That word right there scares people automatically. We gave away a 14-inch barreled tactical shotgun here last week. Was it last week? Yeah, absolutely. And some, because they don't understand. But yet, without even understanding, they just feel like it's their job to go out here and blast us and call us all kinds of names. And that's okay. Look, again, we're big enough to take it, and I just took it down. But we get caught up in our so many pet peeves, it doesn't matter. Do you know most of the stuff you're fearful of and complaining about really ain't going to make an eternal difference in heaven? But you're letting it wreck ship here on earth. You're tore up from the floor up about things that are not going to matter once you get over on the other side. You can live through it on earth, I promise you. With the power of God, you can face anything the enemy can throw at you on the earth. But you can't without him. It'll wreck your life without him. That doesn't make it pleasurable to go through still sometimes. But not having God to cry out on and crawl up in his arms, man, I can't imagine living a life without Christ, especially in this fallen world. And then you've got people, oh, if you do this, oh, you're associating your... Listen, everything you have in your home pretty much is touched by something of the satanic realm. If you have your phone in your pocket or in your, how many has a phone with them today somewhere? It's in your car, it's in your possession right now. Do you know every phone company gives to the homosexual agenda? So you're supporting it. I'm supporting it. I got an iPad. Do I want to? No. But are we under circumstances where that's the world we live in? Yes. So what am I going to do? I'm going to take this iPad that's designed, and the owner of the company is an open homosexual, has been for years. He's actually from Auburn, Alabama. That makes sense, but anyway. Y'all are welcome, all you Alabama fans. No, I'm just kidding. No, he did graduate Auburn, but he is that way, and he's open that way. So what am I going to do? Well, don't use a Apple. I don't even know what the other ones are. A Dell, Android. You know what? Look at them. They give too. Every electronic division company gives to that association. Every company you deal with pretty much gives something to that and supports it. So what are we to do as Christians? Well, my thing is, let's go get an island. Yay! I'm for that. But that ain't happening right now. Islands usually cost several billions of dollars. And until that happens, I've still got to live in this world. So I'm going to take my iPad, and it's loaded down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm now at a point where I have over 50-something translations of the Bible on this thing. I can study in the Greek, the Hebrew, the Aramaic, and the Latin languages. Or it can. I don't know how, but I know how to punch the button and make it get there. And I use it for the glory of God. Now, if there's something out there that wasn't, I would be on that. And the Bible talks about, we're in this world, but we don't have to be of that world. This iPad will never see child pornography or anything perverted going to happen on this tablet. Why? Because I've dedicated it to God. And what you dedicate to God is holy before the Lord. I've reversed the curse. So don't be afraid to walk out into the world as long as you don't become like the world. That's where a lot of Christians are struggling, though. They walk into that world, and that world absorbs them because we're not grounded enough in Christ. And then we get guilty, and we don't think we can come to the table no more. We don't think we're worthy to go back to the table because the world has sucked us in through deceit and lies and lust and envy and pride. But I'm going to tell you, I don't care how far you get away from God, you're one step away from coming back. If you've never known God, you're one step away from knowing Him as a Father. A Father that loves you. So go ahead and put up my next to the last note. We should keep relationships at a distance where we are being more influenced by others' negative worldly ways than they are by our positive Christ-like ways. Now, I didn't say you break those relationships, because some of them you can't because you got to go to work. Anybody work with some ungodly people? I hope you're not that person. Someone's sitting in a church today asking that, and they're thinking about you going, yeah, that person's ungodly. So we have to be in certain areas. We have to be in it. We're in a system, in a society, in a world that is fallen with sin, but we don't have to be a part of that. And here's the thing about it. It's all by our choice. Because this loving God wants, again, us to love Him on His merit and love, not a dictatorship. He doesn't make me love Him and serve Him. I get to love Him and serve Him. There's a big difference in your attitude changes from have to get to. You start doing everything with more excellence and honor. Can I have a better amen there? Amen. So, if you pictured a table that you sat at every day and you fellowshipped, do you think you're going to start taking on some of the characteristics of that table? Yes, you will. That's why people who grew up in Christian homes, and I'll use this illustration. I know of a guy who joined the Navy, and he got on a ship, and they all ate together, his crew, and they all had very filthy mouths, cussing like crazy. And he grew up Christian. And he goes off for his basic training, and then right after that, they ship him out, so he really didn't have to come. He got to come home for like a day or two during basic. Then he was gone for close to a year on a ship, and then he came back after, I think it was about a year and a half total, and he's at dinner with his table, And he looks up, and there's like him. I think it was a family of three kids and a mom and a dad. And both set of the grandparents were there because little Junior's home from the Navy, first time to be back home with him and stuff. And two or three of the aunts, uncles there. It's a big family get together because of his reunion. And they're sitting around this huge table, and he says, pass the blankety blank mashed potatoes. And said the whole, it went like y'all. And it wasn't it was a real bad word. Real bad one. Pass the potatoes. And everybody froze, and he even froze. He's like, holy moly, how did that come out of my mouth? It's because of the table he's eating at. See, you may have come from a table, but you're eating at a table. And here's where we got to get to. No matter what table I'm at, I consider it the table of the Lord. And I won't be influenced, although I'm there. Instead of being influenced, I'm here to influence. Now, that doesn't mean being rude to everybody and going, you know, y'all cuss around me, I'm going to slap you. No. How about you bow your head and say, Father, I thank you for this food. Bless it coming and going in Jesus' name. Amen. That's all you got to do. You ain't got to testify. You ain't got to take a Bible out and beat people over the head. You just got to maintain the table of the Lord. And people are wanting to leave work and go to the bars on the weekend and hang out drinking and dancing with everything. And you know what I mean? Thank you, Lord, I have a home to go to. Thank you, Lord, Sunday's coming and I'm going to be representing you. You see what I mean? Go ahead and put the next note up. Come on, Rodney. We've got to feed everybody, but we don't have to be like everybody. We've got to feed these people without becoming like them. We are supposed to be the influencers, not the influencees. But if you don't stay sharp in your walk with God on a daily basis, if your Bible's still as shiny as the day you got it and you've had it over 2 or 3 years and it don't have some wear and the gold is just gold as it was on the day you got it, there's a problem. I know we read on our phones and our tablets nowadays, but let me tell you something. Get you a Bible, too. Jesus sat and ate all the time with sinners, didn't he? This is yes. Jesus constantly would go out and have meals with blatant sinners and prostitutes and horrible people. He would sit down and eat with them, but he didn't sin with them. He didn't sin with them. He shared his heart with them. And if they wanted to follow him, they could. If he didn't, he still ate with them and still fed them. But he didn't take on their nature or their character. He stayed in his Father's character and will. So, stand to your feet for this last note. This has become one of my mottos, and I think I even posted it. Go ahead and put it up. Lord, keep me different, because I don't mind being left out. I don't mind being left out. If it's going to be something sinful or cause someone to fall, I don't mind being left out of that scene. Hey, Joey, we're all going to go have a few at the bar. Come on, go with us. No, guys, that's okay. I'm going home to my wife. Thank you, Lord. I'm not in that crowd. Now, again, I love those people, but I'm not going into that atmosphere. If I do go into that atmosphere at a restaurant, I'm going to pray over my meal, and I'm going to talk about some Jesus when I get the opportunity. I'm going to tell them about how God's blessed me, man, what's going on in life, and how my marriage is working. And it could be anything, drugs, sexual pleasures. It doesn't matter. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. It's all wrapped up in those three things. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be money. It could be addictions. It could be sexual things. It doesn't matter what it is. All sin leads to one place, and that's hell. All God leads to his glory in heaven. So, Lord, I will be honored to be left out down here. Just keep me different. I don't want to be like the world. I don't want to talk like the world. I don't want to act like the world. I don't want to think like the world. And I will close with this. Have you ever thought, with all the craziness going on right now, not knowing if you're a man or a woman or something? And my wife ain't in here, is she? I can tell you how to solve that. She hates when I do this, but y'all know what I'm fixing to say. If you're confused about what gender you are, check the plumbing. Just check the plumbing. It does not lie. If you've got male plumbing, you're a male. You have female plumbing, you're a female. Problem solved. Anything else is a perversion of the truth. Now again, I love those people, but I can't accept a lie and act like it's true. It would be me denying my faith for me to accept the world's lies and say, well, that's okay. Now, I love them, but I can never affirm that as being real or anything else but perversion and ungodliness and sin. Just like fornication is, just like adultery is. It doesn't matter. Sin is sin. And here's the thing about it. Some of y'all don't even know this is in the Bible. Let me tell you some Bible. The Bible says if you've committed one sin, you're guilty of all of them. That's in the Bible. Where's it at? It's in the Bible. Look it up yourself. I can't remember. New Testament. I'll narrow it down for you. It's in the New Testament. If you're guilty of one, you're guilty of every sin. That's why he died for every sin. Where you could be set free. Amen? Lord, keep me different. I don't mind at all being left out. I may be left out of some things here on earth. I may be left out of some clubs. I may be left out of some prestigious things that man says is prestigious on the earth. But I can promise you one thing I'm not going to be left out of, and that's heaven. Woo! And that's what matters. So let's bow our heads this morning. Father, we want to come bring this to your table today, God. And if you're sitting here this morning, our first prayer and our first hearts is for you this morning. If you've never committed your life to Christ and said, Lord, I can't pay for my own sins. I would love to if I could. But you can't, friend. But Jesus has already paid for them. And what we're asking you to do today, without any strings attached, you will not join church today. We don't worry about that. You will not become a religious this, that, or the other. We're not worried about that. And neither is God, by the way. God will plant you as he desires in a church that you can grow in and be discipled. And God never came to establish a religion. He came and established a kingdom. And so what we're inviting you to do is surrender your life to the only one who's ever died for your sins and rose again where you could live again and have eternity in heaven. And if you're ready today to make that move, we just want to meet you right there. And just by the lifting of your hand today to say, you know what, I am ready to surrender my life to Christ. I've never done this. I've never meant it. And today I want to get born again and start living fresh and new from a Father who has room at the table and has a seat just for me. If that's you, just lift your hand anywhere in the building. Anybody? All right. How many of you today with me would say, there's been times I've just backed away from God's table. I've been drawn away by things, and whether it be money or people or lust of the flesh, lust of the life, pride of life. And Satan has convinced me I can't come back to the table. I feel the shame and the guilt of my mistakes, and I know it. Nobody has to convince you. But I want to come today and reevaluate Father's love. Realize that his arms have never crossed and my table, my chair's never been taken out. I'm still his son and daughter, and I want to come back to the table. And when I begin to hang out at this table, I'm going to begin to eat here everywhere I go. And then I'm going to begin to invite others. If I can feed them, I'm going to feed them. If I can help them up, I'm going to help them up. Because God, what you do to me, you now want to do through me. And if that's you today and you say, I want to be that person that's sitting at the table to go out and bring others in and help others up, just lift your hand up and say, more, Jesus. Come on, say more. More. Lord, more food. More food to give away. More strength, God, in my life to help others out where I can. I can't help everybody and do everything for everybody, but I can do my part. I can do my part with those that are not like me. And I can do those parts for those that are like me. But Lord, say this with me. Say, Lord, break the click in my life. because there's other people out there. Now, I'm not saying you got to break up with your friends and not do that. I'm just saying we've got to do it on purpose, because if we don't do it on purpose, it never gets done. So bring that purpose back to reality for us, that there are hurting people all around us. And we are here with Jesus in our heart to share. So Lord, we love you and we thank you, and you are such an awesome and mighty God. There's nothing that you can't handle when we surrender it to you. So again, come on, just one more time. Tell God, say, I love you, Jesus, and I thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give him a hand.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.